Waffles. Welcome to the Non-Chasers here for Sportsbet NSE and Track. Favourite time of the evening, favourite time of the week, 7 p.m. on a Wednesday here on SEN Track to talk a little bit of Greyhound Yabba with my boys, Andrew Gunner, Shannon Shagger Tremellin, and myself, Paddy Gar Shagan. How are we, gentlemen?
I'm going well.
Are we going well?
Yeah. I am also.
How about yourself?
Don't be too excited.
I'm also well, thank you. Patrick, how are you?
I'm well, very well. So a well start to the show. Now, we must launch an investigation as to where the Great Irish Hawk is.
Maybe he has gone back to Scotland.
Where is he?
Where's Kenny?
Saw the cases where, going down.
All afternoon.
Maybe misconstrued how far 25 kilometres is.
All afternoon we've been preparing for a humdinger of a show. We've got plenty on. We've got a great guest. We've got the winning trainer of the $1 million chase from last Friday night, and Kenny's just disappeared. He's gone cold on us.
Yep.
Jesus.
Hopefully all is okay, but we'll assume that it is, and we'll take the piss out of him in the meantime.
As his manager, Gunner, you need to come down hard on him here. Oh, no, boys, very good. It's exciting to be here. As per, I did allude to, we've got the guest trainer, Peter Legogiani of Handsome Prince and, of course, Mystic Ride, who won the $1 million chase in its first edition. So just a cool 2x $1 million chase winner, as you do, just getting the big guests here on the non-chasers. But a little bit of a celebration time, because we got something up, boys, last week, and it came to the assistance, of one other than the Mark Duclos, who just booted us into something at short odds to place. And the non-chasers multi got up, so a little applause to us, boys, a little virtual tap on the back. Well done.
Yes, very nice.
We're back, but no montage. What happened there?
We didn't tip too many last week. I think we had a show chock full of outstanding guests.
Well done, Shagger. I was just testing you out there, and you answered aptly and truly. We didn't actually tip much last week because it was all about the guests. Our selections of the $1 million chase. Let's get into it now. We'll get the elephant out of the room. I liked Flying Ricardo. Got a bit squishy around that first bend. Mark Duclos said that first bend at Wente Park can be troublesome for many a dog, and Flying Ricardo found that firsthand. How about yourself, Shagger? Who are you on? And a bit of a recap on the race.
Yeah, I was on Shadow Mist, who jumped really nicely, actually. Was looking the goods heading into the first sectional. But just a couple to his outside there, namely Handsome Prince, who jumped a bit better, just chopped him off at the pass when they came around that bend. He lost a little bit of momentum and then found himself just getting shuffled back through the field. So got spat out the back.
Gunner?
Yeah, I'd like Shadow Mist as well. Went back over anything that Shag has already said. Thought that the run was unlucky. Only needed probably another half a length there, and the race would have definitely been in his favour to win. Also liked Wall Banger at knockout odds that ran fourth and was a pretty good run in behind the leaders when they found some trouble there. But another
Waging War, I think.
Didn't you like Waging War?
Waging War that ran.
Waging War. Yes, yeah. Yes. Thank you. Yes, another great rendition of the $1 million chase and some free-to-wear coverage and some really good engagement numbers, not only from our customers but the general Greyhound public racing fans and those that were along for the ride through the advertising. So on to bigger and better things and build some good momentum into the bigger races that we've got coming up down here in Victoria for the next couple of months.
Spot on. Well said, Gunnar. It'll be good to... Yes, there was a little bit of a crowd in there at Wente Park, but it would be good to just get the thing absolutely bubbling for future editions as the race really starts to grow some clout and momentum, as you well said. Hey, Shagger, you're here for a tip off the top. What do you got for us?
Yes, this is Ballarat Race 3. I'm suggesting a same race multi here. So this is number 2, Mr. America, and number 8, another easy, to both run top 2. So another easy out in box 8. It's got good form on the board already with a solid placing at Ballarat last week, running 25.54. Not much early pace to his inside, so I think he gets a pretty good run into this. Mr. America is a first starter, so don't know a lot about it, but it is from Jason Thompson Kennel. He's out of a handy sprinter called Motel Girl. We saw a litter mate of Mr. America debut at Shep this week, Louis Liu. Look, he had absolutely no luck in the run, but did look to have ability. There's not much early pace either side of Mr. America here, so should get every chance, and I'd expect it to show us some ability first up. So Samos Multi, Mr. America, and another easy, both to run top two.
Beautiful. I can sniff the montage getting juicier and juicier for next week as we speak. Gunner, whilst the great Arch Hope has decided to shoulder arms to the show, do you want to come in with a little tip off the top?
Yeah, how's it going? What's happening?
Oh, you can't be doing that.
I just like to tip Buster the Brute. I don't have a tip for him, but I'll do my best to impersonate him and give him the sugar honey iced teas whilst he's not here, and he'll listen back to that and cringe.
You've had a big day at the Geelong Cup, haven't you?
It's all happening down here this week, man. The cat's in the granny, the Geelong Cup for the pooches, the Geelong Cup for the ponies. I mean, where else would you want to be?
You donned your servo sunglasses and your white croc leather shoes today, and you were out there in Geelong.
with the blonde tips as well, mate. Yeah. There'd be hundreds of thousands down at the Ring of Steel there at Little River trying to jump over to the regional side of the border just to get in town for a taste of it.
Fair enough. I'm a bit jealous of you, Swell. We're stuck in here. We go to some very sad news, actually, from some jovial fun there to some sad news. Gunner, we lost a real champion of the caper in Two-Told Seavey. Terribly sad. Gunner, do you want a bit of an ode to Who-Told Stevie's work?
Yeah, we'll straighten up for a touch, mate, because, this is serious and very sad that we lost a very fast dog during the week that he had his issues with injury over the journey, Who-Told Stevie, and we probably didn't see the best of him at the track, but Shagger will remember that Stevie graced us with his presence for the first time a little bit over 12 months ago when he debuted at the Meadows back in September last year, and geez, he hit the ground running with a sizzling 29.93 on debut at the Meadows, and knew that there was a special dog in the making off the back of a debut run like that. And poignant that he raced against his brother Simon Told Helen in the final of the Great Chase, and the final of the Great Chase is, well, we've had the Great Chase series that's been running recently. So this is roughly last year when we started to see the best of him, and knew that there was a promising dog on the horizon. He seemed to run into Simon Told Helen a lot in finals and was often getting buffeted around by him early in that run to the first corner. Simon Told Helen had his measure most times, just that little bit quicker early. And then, as I said, Who-Told Stevie had a few injury setbacks along the journey, which held back his progression, whilst Simon Told Helen was doing amazing things on the racetrack. The connections had always said that Who-Told Stevie was Simon Told Helen's equal in terms of raw speed. But as I said, Simon Told Helen had more days on the racetrack and could definitely build into his work a little bit more than Stevie, who was interrupted. So very sad news, Paddy, that he passed away this time last week, and no doubt the connections are really hurting and feeling that at the moment. And for Greyhound fans that have had a bet on Who-Told Stevie or even just sat down and watched him in a race to admire one of the fastest dogs at the track, very sad news for us all.
That is very, very, very well said. And it just highlights that these dogs aren't robots. At the end of the day, they are loving creatures, and this sort of thing can happen. And I'll just echo your words there to connections and everyone involved at the camp. We are sorry to hear the news about Who-Told Stevie. We go from that now to another, not issue, but Shelby versus Shelby. All right. I'm trying to get in touch with the Adelaide Shelby. Now, this is almost bordering on investigation levels. I've slid into Millsy's DMs on Twitter. And I said, mate, I need you to do us a favour here. Look, you might not listen to us as much as you used to. I know you're busy. I know Tara's, you know, wrapped around you and she doesn't let you do much. But
you're saying that old Millsy's under the thumb now.
What was normally good non-chasers listening time is now spent with Tara time. You know, we can't take that away from the great man. But if anyone out there can help us, just point us in the right direction or get some details for Thomas Shelby's trainer in Adelaide, we're going to get in touch and we can start facilitating this process because this has to be resolved. Thomas Shelby and Tommy Shelby cannot be sharing names, all right? Because who's to know we're not going to have Tom Shelby now come onto the scene and just try and muck it up for everyone else. So there's a little update on that. We're trying to get in touch with the Adelaide component of this to make it happen. No cat dog this week, Gunner? I don't think there is.
it's only cats in a week like this, mate.
Oh, very good. Well said. That is a nice little injection of your footy club. Of course, grand final week for the Cats. I'm very jealous of you. Old Paddy Dangerfield getting his first grand final up in Brisbane with no fanfare and no parade and no people at his final training session. So well done to you, Paddy. But you've got Jeremy Cameron as well now.
Yeah, it's the news never stops, does it? You wouldn't think that they could find a story to top just the grand final in general during grand final week, but they have.
I mean, look, if you win the granny now and Paddy gets that and then he gets his fishing mate and Jeremy Cameron, gee whiz, all happening down.
Like the little kid on the insurance ad, they'll have to buy a bigger boat.
Yeah, have to buy a bigger boat, Dad. We digress. Horror calls. Horror calls. Okay, now Gunner, favourite segment. I'm a big fan of horror calls and if any of you are currently listening to the show and you're wondering why you haven't heard any Irish tunes, it's because Shagger is here, but Kenny is not. Kenny is still away. Anyway, back to horror calls. This happened on Saturday, okay? It is not greyhounds. It is the thoroughbreds. This was a hurdle event. This is a time-honoured event. It's run over 6,400 metres at Ellerslie. Over there in New Zealand, across the Dutch. And there was about five horses left in the race. I think they were about three quarters of the way through the race. And a golfer decided to just hook one into the middle of the racetrack and go collect his ball as they were coming. Have a listen to this.
So they've cleared that one. There are some absolute idiots playing golf out on the course proper. Can you believe that? Down towards you, absolute dickheads. At the first of the stand-up.
Now that caller is absolutely spot on. That bloke is a fair dinkum dockhead.
An absolute dockhead.
It actually has taken, unless you've been living under a rock, you wouldn't have seen this. It's taken social media by storm. There's a great image of the bloke literally going to collect his ball. It has since come out that there's a pitch and putt in the middle of the hurdle circuit there at Ellerslie.
Yeah, on a pitch and putt, how do you get that wide of the golf course on a pitch and putt?
I don't know. I think he's really skinnied one. He's tried to just chip up onto the green and he's just flatted one straight through. It's gone 100 metres. But how's the no knowledge to go and have a look for potential racehorses that could be jumping over the hedges? Like, you'd surely know that the races are on.
You would have thought so.
It's quite remarkable. A genuine disaster has been avoided as well because they were close.
I think when he saw him coming, he probably got moving faster than the horses. It would be a pretty scary sight to see all those horses charging straight at you.
I think he would have finished the rest of the round with a couple of nuggets in the rear of his shorts.
Yeah. Well, it begs the question: Do you know any other courses, greyhounds or
thoroughbreds? You can't fit a golf course inside a greyhound track, mate.
Maybe a mini golf
yeah,
course.
Maybe you could. Mini golf, yeah.
And then someone will be like, "Oh, hang on, how someone managed to putt outside of the mini golf course onto the greyhound track?"
Yeah, there's
some footy ovals.
There's plenty of golf courses inside racetracks though. Country New South Wales. I think Corindi has one.
You'll often see if you're watching some of those wider out country tracks, and they have those dual purpose facilities with the golf course on the inside, and you'll see the old blokes on the tee there on a Saturday leaning on their drivers as the herd of horses runs past, and "Oh, which one are you on, Bill? I think yours is out the back." So yeah, it's always interesting to watch.
I think we should get more pitch and putt / mini golf courses on the inside of the greyhound racing tracks around there. Sandown would look pretty good.
Yeah, why not? Could be a little revenue earner for Mick Floyd and his cronies down there. Little putt putt.
Well, they don't have much in there. They've just got the grass.
Yep.
You could do something with the little spot there.
Sometimes not even that. Maybe you could tell Mick that he should be growing sunflowers down there or something.
It would go well with the $80 all you can eat dim sim and food and wine package. Jeez, down at Sandy.
That's a lot of dim sims for $80.
Oh, that's pretty good. Boys, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Peter Lugosiati, trainer of Handsome Prince and owner as well, Shagger.
No, I don't believe so.
Well, he's taken a nice chunk of prize money out of the $1 million chase, that's for sure. No fast bucks this week because the adjudicator of the fast bucks is still under an investigation. Oh, geez,
Have I wasted my time bloody doing selections for then?
As to where he is, we'll be back shortly after this break on SEN Track. Welcome back to the Non-Chasers here on SEN Track. I've been promising a big guest, boys. I talk a big show, and we deliver. The man's just gone out and won the $1 million chase again, and now we've just plucked him straight away and gone, "Hey, mate, just come on to the award-winning show, the Non-Chasers." Peter Lugosiati, trainer of Handsome Prince. Welcome to the Non-Chasers, mate.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, mate, first of all, how's the week been? Little Birdie tells me you were celebrating at Everest Day on Saturday. Are these rumours true?
Mate, not for me, no. We come home and it was business as usual. I think Shaquille Latimer, the owner, I think he celebrated Saturday, Sunday and Monday. So he's still like, "Hey, we don't know. We haven't made contact yet." But, he's still partying.
Oh, excellent. Well, congratulations. Massive win. How did you celebrate, and have you got any plans for big spend on anything in particular after the windfall?
Mate, the wife takes care of the big spend thing, mate. Not me. So, mate, look, it's pretty subdued. You know, we had a bit of a barbie on Sunday, and as we do, we love have a barbie and a couple of beers with a few close friends and family, and look, mate, it was still business as usual. We got dogs to do, and we're running a property. You know, we've got about 26 dogs on the property. So, look, our celebration will come in the next couple of weeks. You know, we'll sit down and plan it and invite people that are close to us and have a big bash. And we love spending time here at home, mate, around the pool. And, I'd love to say that I'm going to take a round trip, a trip around the world or something like that and spend the money wisely. And, that wouldn't be too wise, but nah, look, it is what it is. We're still greyhound trainers, you know, at heart, so we got a job to do.
Peter, they've only run the bloody thing three times and you've won it twice. Are they going to rename it the Lugosiati Chase, or are they at least going to honour you and rename Box 7 the Lugosiati Box, because it's brought you a lot of luck?
Could you imagine the sponsorship deals, mate? You know, I'd have to be forking out some cash. So, no, we'll leave the sponsoring to you blokes. You're doing a fantastic job. Thank you very much. Mate, we still can't believe it. You know, we got sent out, you know, 4 weeks prior to the race. He was 101-1, Handsome Prince was, and, one of the complete rank outsiders. And, he came into the race, I think, $26, you know, 26-1. So, you know, there was a little bit of money for him. There was some specking for him. Probably you blokes, I think, you know, going on the name. So, look, mate, this is truly, truly what dreams are made of. You know, he he was, you know, one of the rank outsiders in the race and probably boxed not to win the race. And, mate, just everything else that, you know, wasn't going to happen, happened. And mate, it, you know, it's all a dream from there.
And tell us about the emotions and the feeling of watching one of your dogs, as you say, not only dearly drawn in box seven, but got a really good jump and a really good start into that first bend. At what point did you think that the race was yours? Because you had a pretty handy one chasing you down the back straight.
Oh, certainly, yeah, we did. And you know, there was seven of them, you know, chasing me, you know, around, you know, the whole time. So, you know, look, when he come around, you know, the home bend and I saw him still 3-4 in front on you, I said, they're not going to chase him down now. You know, he's a terrific little chaser. You know, I've only known the dog for 6-7 weeks and you know, it took him a couple of weeks to settle in and, you know, but I know he splits. He's got fantastic splits. And so when I saw that, I said his back section would have been flying and it was, you know, and they weren't taking ground off him. And look, you know, Burnborough probably wouldn't have run him down that night. You know, he was, you know, he was chasing that little dog. So, yeah, mate. Once he passed me, you know, there was a little bit of a cheering going on behind the boxes, and all I can remember is he's jumping that you know fence and running down the straight, and yeah, and then the emotion just hit, just knowing that we've done it again, and you know, I think it was more emotional this time, and you know. Yeah, when we won it with Mystic Wright, you know, we were sent out favourite and she was well boxed and she had the credentials to win the race, where this bloke, you know, like I said, was badly boxed and probably, you know, the credentials to win it, but not as you know, as high as the other seven. So, yeah, so, mate, it was just, yeah, look, you know, words can't put into perspective, you know, the feelings and the emotions and all that. So, you know, throughout the whole week, you don't think about winning. You just plan yourself, you know, what you're doing and how we're going to attack this and how the dog's going to, you know, overcome the difficulties to win it. You know, not at one stage did I think of myself on the dice, you know, carrying, you know, the trophy. I thought of myself on the dice maybe carrying third place, but not the winner.
Peter, you said it there how you're standing behind the boxes and when they ran around to pull into the home straight, you let off a little yelp. Imagine if Handsome Prince had just heard that and just stopped and turned his head to have a look at you.
Yeah, well, it was pretty subdued, that little yelp, let me tell you. I'll make sure of that. You know, I think the other seven trainers were hoping it was a bit loud to stop him, but no, mate, I'm pretty cautious about that. So I made sure he couldn't see me or hear me, you know. Nah, look, he's a terrific chaser. I don't think anything on the night would have stopped him from chasing that lure.
And Peter, can you talk us a little bit about your preparation going into the race with Handsome Prince? Did you treat that like any other week, or did you have a special plan in mind in terms of getting him ready for the big race?
Oh, look, you know, you think this through, you know, many, many weeks prior. You know, you set out a plan and you follow the plan, you know, and hope, you know, no injury, no illness comes about and ruins that plan. So, look, everything went well for the dog. You know, we had a 4-week stint that was almost perfect. He picked up a little injury in the heats, which we had to overcome for the semis, and come final night, he was pretty much right. So, you know, credit to the dog, you know, credit to our team here at home, dad, my wife, you know, myself and the kids, you know, we're all involved. You know, I learned from the previous years, from the previous year, you know, with Mystic Wright, don't change a thing, you know. So we kept it pretty simple, pretty blasé. Just let him do his thing at home. You know, we galloped him. He just had free gallops at home and just try to keep him on his toes. And, you know, it was all in the jump. We knew it was all in the jump. You know, to win these big races, you got to lead, you know, or be sitting second and be very, very, be stronger than the leader. So, you know, we knew that's where he had to be. So that's the sort of plan and the attack we took on and made it paid off.
Excellent. And what now for Handsome Prince? Have you got some of the big races in Melbourne lined up or is he going to stay more local?
Yeah, look, I'm going to have a chat to Shaquille and, you know, he's a terrific bloke and loves his dog and you know, he's left it all up to me and he's sort of said, look, you know, I only want the best for the dog. Put him in races that you know and you believe you can win, or be, you know, we just can't go in the race just because we're selected to go in the race, you know. He's still a very young, immature dog. You know, he's only, I think, a veteran of 20 starts. So, you know, when you're selecting, when you've been selected to go in the top races, you know, up against dogs that have had, you know, 80, 90 starts and 20, 30 wins and they've been in group races the last, you know, 20, 30 starts, you know, they're very seasoned animals where this bloke probably isn't yet. So it's something that Shaquille and I really got to think about in the next 24 hours. You know, we've got to just look, we've got to manage him right and get the best out of him, you know. Absolutely. So we're just waiting to see. You know, we have been selected for the Top Gun in the last 16. So I believe we'll be in the top eight. But look, it's a 50-50 chance whether I put him around there against them season campaigners.
Tell us a bit about the background. You used to train in Dubai.
Yeah, that's correct.
Not too many people have won two $2 million chases, but have then, well, you've trained prior in Dubai. How's that come about?
Well, just lucky, I guess. I did train for Dubai. I trained for the Prince of Dubai, you know, Sheikh Mohammed's son, who's famous for Godolphin racing. He was after a young trainer to go out there and start his team up. And he had a few international trainers go there, which didn't work out. And then he looked to Australia. How it began is Mark and Steve Ferrugia, who run Glengarry's Troll Track and Break It In facility, the education centre there. They actually went across to Dubai with Brian Barrington and built his track. It was a state-of-the-art facility. And then he asked them, you know, who can you recommend as a trainer? And they put some names on the board and he come down and handpicked us. He saw what we achieved here in Australia, myself and my wife. And, you know, we pretty much were hand-selected by the Prince and to go over there, you know. And, mate, I at first I couldn't believe it and I declined the offer. You know, silly me. You know, I thought, nah, this can't be right. You know, and we're doing too good here in Oz, and we love Australia. And you know, born and bred in Redfern, mate. I didn't want to leave home. You know, Europe's not for me. It's great for a holiday, but not to live there. And of course, going over to Dubai, you know, Middle Eastern country where, you know, as you've heard, you know, as we know from the press, you know, it's not too good, you know, in the Middle East. So, you know, after several conversations with the Prince and his work and his men, we took the offer on and mate went across and there was one word for it. Wow, you know, just wow, you know, mate. I was treated like a prince. He left no stone unturned to make myself and my wife more than comfortable. You know, we had our own place. We had our own driver. You know, we added exclusive restaurants. We felt like we were exclusive people. He treated us as one of his own. We trained his team of greyhounds and that went on to training his Salukis and then looking after his pets. So, he had that faith in me, which was brilliant. I never did wrong by him. It was just, you know, as we called it, the sandbox. You know, we lived in the sandbox, you know, over there, you know, driving around, you know, seeing sand dunes and camels and palm trees and eating dates and all that, mate. It was all that. It was all that and more. You know, and we bred him some litters over there and we won him all the races over there. So what can I say? It was just it was an amazing experience. You know, I sat down with a couple of the best vets I reckon in the world, not only in Dubai. I met his top trainers, you know, Mr. Sewell and Bin Sewell and all them and watched how they prepared their horses and their Arabians and all that and mate, just saw it all. I can write a book. I really can, guys. It was an amazing experience. And wow. I didn't want it to end. I really didn't want it to end. But, you know, all good things come to an end and unfortunately Dad got ill and we had to renegotiate our deal there and come home. So, we've got an open aeroplane ticket whenever we're ready to go back. He's prepared to take us back.
And
that's a positive.
And does the prince still send through a sneaky text after watching the $1 million chase final to say, well done, Pete, we miss you, or has communications dropped?
No, mate, no. I'd get him weekly or fortnightly, and Ahmed, he's right hand man, sent us, you know, hearty congratulations again on winning it, and he still wants his koala. You know, the prince wants a koala as a pet, so we're trying to get him a bloody koala. You know, so, no, he's an animal lover, mate. The prince, and he adores animals. He really does. He's so affectionate. You know, being a Muslim, you know, whatever your faith. And that, and how they say that they don't like animals and dogs and all that. Well, that's a load of crap, let me tell you. He plays with his dogs. He runs around with them. They sleep in his bed, and he's got a range of animals there, mate. He loves them all. He feeds his giraffes. He's bears. He's, mate. And the one thing that's missing is a koala bear. And he said to me, Peter, Mr. Peter, he calls me. He says, Mr. Peter, he says, when can you get me my koala? I said, sir, it's coming. It's coming. So, guys, if you can help out there, please help out.
I don't know if the koalas do too well in the desert. But...
yeah, well, he's, you wouldn't believe it. He's planted gum trees, and he's done his homework, and it's a certain eucalyptus. And he said we've archived this, and we've got the trees that they like to live in and eat. You know, and
wow.
So yeah, he'll do it. Don't worry, he'll do it.
The prince might change his mind once they start getting into breeding season, because those little bastards don't shut up during breeding season. So,
I don't know about setting him a koala, but you know, hopefully we can acquire him a dog. And how funny it was that we acquired this dog, Handsome Prince. It just we the name just caught the eye. You know, it just Handsome Prince. Jesus, we got to train that dog. You know, how can we not train this dog? And then I remember your mate saying, "Well, have a look at his form." I said, "Don't worry about the form. Just get the dog, mate." You know, it'll open a couple. You know, and it did. You know, it was an eye opener for everybody. And when the prince saw it, he loved the name, obviously, as he would. And but you know, Shaquille still reckons the dog was named after him. So you know, put a bit of makeup on him, he might be right.
fascinating story, Pete. Mate, we can't thank you enough for your time. From Dubai to winning $2 million chases, they're going to rename that seven box after you. It might be hard to squeeze Lagogiani into the box. It's quite a small space, but nonetheless, it's what you deserve, mate. Thank you so much for joining us on the Non-Chasers this evening, mate.
Guys, my pleasure, and thanks for your support, and we hope you can be there next year, and it's bigger and better than ever.
Thanks, Pete. Awesome, well Pete. Done, mate.
Excellent. Good on you, Peter. Thank you.
Boys, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Non-Chasers after this. Welcome back to the Non-Chasers here on SEN Track for Sports Betting. Boys, that was a fascinating insight into the $1 million chase winner.
Sure was, Patty.
That was excellent.
The Dubai stuff was fascinating.
Yeah, we'd love to hear a lot more about that Dubai stuff. I think there's hours of entertainment in a few of those stories.
Wow, hey, fascinating. It's suitable that a man who goes and works over there for a squillionaire can come back and win the $1 million chase twice, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, fun stuff. If the prince was watching and he was winning Pathways races at Nowra on a Sunday night for $800, the prince might have been thinking, "Hey, what did I employ here?"
Yeah, it was. Do you reckon Ahmed sends him text at like 4 a.m. asking for a tip?
well, they're not meant to bet over there, but I'm sure that they have some sort of a wager. I'll sell you this oil reserve for that oil reserve, something along those lines. I'd be betting that sort of stuff, I'd reckon.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Well, there's no Shaq. There's no Kenny. We've officially put the line through Kenny. The investigation has been solved. Hearing is slightly unwell, so Kenny doing the right thing, staying at home, even though we're all at home. Kenny is not here. I was about to address Kenny, but it's not him. Shagger. You're going to have to do an awful lot of shagging here, mate, because you're solo.
You're going to be shagging for Australia.
You are. What do you got for a shagger?
What should we do now? Well, I've got an idea. Why don't we shag?
All right. So, yeah, Sandown Thursday night. Loving that Sandown's back. First race I'm going to have a look at here is race three, and a dog called McCooley's Lad in box four. We gave this the boom dog tag the other week, and I think he's going to win this race. He's the second fastest qualifier of this final, but he absolutely bungled the start in the heat.
Yeah, what happened, Shag? Talk us through what happened.
Yeah, not 100% sure. He might have just jabbed at the lids just prior to them opening. He might have just had to do a bit of a double take before the opening of the boxes. So he bungled that. We've obviously spoken about his early pace. He put down some pretty good splits at Bendigo. Look, the only concern here is that there are a few dogs drawn to his inside that have been splitting sort of between 5.07 and 5.11 at Sandown. So that'll be his main challenge in the way to getting a victory here. But he is the sort of dog that has shown that he can overcome a little bit of a bad start and interference to still win. So I think he'd be worth a shilling or two here. He is a big run in the heats, and, yeah, I think he'll get the job done. Next race.
You know what to do.
Oh, the button.
Baby. Yeah, don't forget the button,
man. Done. Race four, moving on. Number two, Junk Food Junkie to win. Was only a length off winning a heat of the Geelong Cup last start. Was up in Sydney for the Million Dollar Chase preludes a couple of runs before that. Just hasn't had a lot of luck lately. Can ping the lids. And Georgia Rose in the three has shown at times that she can move away from the rail in her first few steps from the boxes. The one and the four don't have particularly good early pace. So I think Junk Food Junkie is in the box seat to win this one. Wouldn't be surprised to see Sweet Demi run a cheeky race drawn in the middle. And that'll be one of the dogs challenging for the early lead. But, yeah, I think Junk Food Junkie will get the job done. And then moving on to race six, number four, Playlist to win here. Recently stepped up to the 600s and has looked pretty good. Wide runner in the five helps a bit here. Should have enough early pace to be able to lead the dogs to his inside. And he's shown that he can run the sort of time needed to win a race like this. So I think looks the goods there to get another win for Playlist and Matty Clark.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Then next one, race seven. Number one, Asin Gwen to win. Really like her here. She's got great early pace. Some more early pace from Run Bubba Run out in box eight. Has got the early speed to match, but hopefully enough separation between the two of them to sort out the pecking order early. Asin Gwen should be a bit stronger than the eight in the second part of the race if she does happen to be led. Tansy in the five can also jump well at times. She'd be a great one to put into the multiples at a bit of value as well. Couple of strong dogs in the race that could be threatening late. Four, Providence Bale, probably the one of most concern there. But I think Aston Gwen will be able to get a good enough break on them early to see off any challenges. So race seven, number one, Aston Gwen to win that
baby.
One. Next one I'm going to have a look at is race eight. Number six, Hazy Roy, just more of an each-way play here. Might actually make that my show me the money selection for later.
Sneak
peek. I'll touch on that race a bit more later. So in show me the money, quickly moving on to race nine, O'Sullivan, just a market watch one here. Not suggesting necessarily jump on now, but if you see
tip
this
it or you don't, Shagger.
No, I like this. He adds little. Yeah. He's got little segments within segments. I like Shagger as an operator.
Just watch the market here. If you see this price drifting out a little bit, sort of around that $3.80 or so, jump on. I think he's worth another chance. Has been desperately unlucky lately. I know I've tipped him a couple of times and he's failed for us. But I think there'll be a few that maybe have been a bit stung, and I reckon give him another go. Race nine, O'Sullivan to win. And we'll leave it at that one.
You're leaving it there. Shagger, I like it. Very good shagging from you, my friend. Very good. And I can sniff a montage. Let's take a break here on the non-chasers. We'll be back with the final little stanza. Dog Food makes a triumphant return, and we're going to hear that all-important show me the money tip from Shagadelic. We'll be back soon. Welcome back to the non-chasers here. It's time for my favourite part of the show, dog food. Brought to you by Chump Dog Food. So good, so tasty. Boys,
so juicy.
This episode of Dog Food, part of dog food, or you know what I'm saying, is all about press conferences. They're a bit of a flavour of the month at the moment, press conferences. So this is either a dog or is a press conference related term. Can I get your buzzer, please, Gunner?
Go to Shagger first.
Well, Shagger, can I have your buzzer then?
Journo.
Okay. Gunner?
North Face jacket.
Okay, music up, please, and we begin dog food. Question number one, press conference.
North Face jacket.
Journo.
That's Gunner.
No, that's a thing, a term.
Yes, correct. There's no dog called press conference. 1-0 to Gunner. Question two, media circus.
Journo.
That's Shagger.
Dog.
Correct. 2013, it was a dog. 1-1. Question three, camera shy.
North Face jacket. Journo.
That's Gunner.
I got a dog.
That's correct. 2003. That's a dog. 2-1. This is good dog food. This is group one dog food.
See what happens when Kenny's not here.
I know. Question four, media wall.
North Face jacket.
That's Gunner. And that's Shagger.
Dog.
Incorrect. It's a term. And you've blown it. You've blown it just like that, Shagger. For triple points, question five. Complimentary tea and coffee.
Journo.
This is bullshit.
Yes, Shagger. It's correct. And Shagger wins dog food.
Oh, that is absolute rubbish. You can't reward mediocrity.
He's just finger on the pulse. He's quick out the lids. Well done to Shagger. You win dog food for its return installment. Boys, show me the money. Here comes the money. You know how this works. It is your value play of the week. I'm going Thursday night. I'll kick us off. Race 7, number 2. Cha-cha-charlie. $6.50. You can get about cha-cha-charlie. Gunner?
Handsome Jack. Race 2, number 2. Sandown tomorrow night. $5.50.
Ooh, and Shagger, we want to hear all about yours.
Sandown tomorrow night as well. Race 8, number 6. Hazy Roy, around $5.50.
Why? Because you were going to give us a little reason.
A couple of the better, shorter-priced dogs in the race, I just don't think have been travelling at their absolute best.
That's enough, Shag. Move on.
He's a good beginner and he won't mind the wide draw. So
basically, he's over the odds.
Yeah, you're getting good value about a dog that could just jump straight to the front here. Good early pace.
I like it. The non-chasers, Mouldy, of course, you only need 3 out of 4 legs to place. Kenny's leg, we'll chuck in playlist for him. Sandown Race 6 playlist to place. I'm going to go Sandown Race 4 Junk Food Junkie to place. How about you, Gunner?
Race 3, number 1, Carry On Star, $1.40 to place.
Ooh, and Shagger?
And mine's Race 1, number 1, Aston Skyler at around $1.35 a place.
Okay. $2.50, $50 max bet.
Sounds good. Something for the punters.
Sounds good.
Live it, love it, dream it, breathe it. That's all from us, boys. No Kenny, no worries, I say.
What's happening?
Oh, here he is. Good to see you, Kenny. Now, that's all from the non-chasers desk, of course. If you are going to have a punt, do so in a responsible manner. But if you hear us and you want to leave a review on the Apple Store, please do, and we'll get a cap or a sports bet t-shirt.
Tipping the granny, boys. Tipping the granny. Who are you tipping, Patty?
Cats.
Oh, I think the Cats win for you, Gunner.
Norm Smith.
I don't normally side with you. Gadge.
Ooh. Semantic. No, romance, I mean. Shagger, what about you?
Duncan for the Norm Smith.
Who?
Mitch Duncan.
Mitch Duncan.
That's all from us, guys. Gamble responsibly and enjoy your Wednesday. Bye-bye.